We're using this series to answer the question of how to live the life that we were made to live. How do we live the life that we're made to live? If you look in your worship guide, you will see there are notes where you can follow along with me on this message. And we're going to do a quick recap because Pastor Brandon did such a great job the first 2 weeks answering that question of how we live the life we were made to live. And he gave us our starting point of the place where we need to start. If we're going to live this life that we're intended to live, then we all need to start in the same place. And that is, we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. And number one is, we have to know that we're adopted. Number two, that we're free from sin and that we're significant. That is a starting point, knowing who we are in the body of Christ, that we are a member of the family of God. Now, I know growing up in my house, I'm a maiden name is the Vines. And in my house, my dad would always say, remind my sisters and I of who we were. He would tell us that every morning when we get up, now the only time that we would have to sleep, we cherished, because normally if we weren't in school, we were in church all day. So every opportunity that we got to sleep in, he would tell us, no, I'm raising ladies. Vines girls, we're raising ladies. And he would say at 9 a.m. every morning, you're to get up, make your bed, take a shower, put on your clothes, do your hair, and if you are tired, you have to lay across the bed. The only time I was able to sleep in is if I was sick. And I, Lord forgive me, because I did tell a few white lies just so I could sleep in. But he would say, you have to get up because I'm raising ladies, because no man wants a woman who's going to lay in the bed all day. So we had to get up and we had to get dressed. And every day, 39 years later, I get up every morning and I leave my house and my bed is not made, because I am not a Vines. I am a butler. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I find myself doing the very thing with my kids. I have to remind them of who they are all the time. Malia, my 10-year-old daughter, she tells me all the time how her friends on Facebook, they're on Snapchat, they have YouTube channels, and she's like, I don't understand why I can't get on YouTube and I can't get on Snapchat. And my boys, even Jaden, he's asking, I don't understand why you need to meet my friends and why you need to meet their parents. They don't have to do that. And I have to remind them all the time that your last name is not Jones, it's not Smith, it's not Brown, your last name is Butler. And as a butler, this is the way that we do things. I don't know what they do over there, but over here, I meet parents. Over here, I don't let my kids get on social media at 10. Yeah, amen. I wish they were in this service so they could hear you clapping and agreeing with me. But I have to remind them all the time of who they are and whose they are. And as a member of our family, that we have a certain way that we're going to do things. We have a certain way that we live life. And as we've been getting into Ephesians, that is what we find that Paul is doing. Paul is setting the standard. He is setting the expectation of how we need to live our lives as believers. He's given us directions. He's given us instructions of how we are to live life. If we're going to experience this life that God has intended for us to live, there is a certain way that we must do things. And Pastor Brandon shared last week, if we're going to live this life, it is not a quick fix. You're not going to get there fast. There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. It is a step at a time lifestyle. It is a lifetime direction. It is a lifetime direction. So the first point, we know now who we are. And then the second step, he said, is we have to walk in love. Not that it has to be in any particular order, but we must walk in love. And he gave such a great example last week. And he asked us the question, what if we woke up every morning and we worked and we toiled and we labored, not to get for selfish gain, but to give and to be a blessing to others? What if we love others in that way? How different our life, our world would be if we all could have that mindset, that we work and that we toil and we labor to give to other people. Oh, how our life would be different. And so today I want to continue on Ephesians 5, and we're going to build on that. And we're going to learn that we were made to seize the day. Today we're going to discover that we were made to seize the day. And in order to live the life that we were made to live, we have to seize every moment every second, every opportunity, every day. We must seize our day. And today we're going to discover exactly how we do that. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, we're going to read the New Living Translation. So if you don't have that type of Bible, you can follow along on your screen, or it is in your sermon notes as well. But let me read it for you. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I picked this version because Lord, I need it simple. Talk to me like a child. And I feel like this gives it very simple, very plain, because here we have the old way versus the new way. The old way we used to do life before we decided that we're going to walk this walk, that we're going to do things the way God has intended for us to do them. If we live the life that he's intended for us to live, there's a certain way that we must do things. But before we decided to take that step, we made some very unwise, some straight up foolish decisions. And we can sit back now and we can laugh at the good old days, like, why did I do that? Why did I make such a silly choice? But that was before we knew we would walk in our own walk. But now Paul is saying, if we're going to live this life that we're made to live, there is a new way that we're going to do things. So we're not going to choose to live the old way. We're going to choose to live the new way. Now, I don't consider myself to be the wisest person in the room. Now, I know that there are people who are older than me and they've lived this thing called life and they know a lot more than I know. Maybe you're younger and you've experienced some things that I haven't, and you know a little bit about that area. So because I don't consider myself to be the wisest person, I surround myself with people who are. I surround myself with people who are going places that I want to go, or they're already there. That is who I choose to be around. And there's one thing that I know about wise people. I notice about all of them. Wise people, they plan. Wise people plan, they set goals, they write them down, and they take everyday steps to get to that goal. They have tunnel vision. They know exactly what they want. They know how they're going to get there. They have a plan every day. As a matter of fact, wise people, they live every day like it's connected to the next. They don't wake up and say, oh, what day is it? What do I feel like doing today? They know, they already have in mind what they're going to do. But the unwise, they may not have a plan. And if they do, they have no clue how they're going to get there. And don't let life throw them a curveball, because that might even change the actual goal. They might have changed their mind of what they want to do. It changes the course of their direction because they don't have a plan in place. And when they get to that point in life where they thought that goal was going to be reached, they look back and they realize that they haven't even started. That life has just done so much and they haven't even started anything on that list to get to that goal. One of my mentors, Jim Wideman, told me that we plan for the things that are important to us. We plan for those things. We plan to get our hair done. Come on, ladies. I set that appointment 3 months in advance and pay a $60 deposit to make sure I don't lose that appointment. We plan for those things. And Brandon Baldwin, he plans his out too. Don't let him fool you. He plans his too. And we plan for our car to be serviced. We plan our vacation. We plan our retirement. We plan all those things. And men, gentlemen, I know you plan that date night with your wife before the game starts because you want to make sure that you're sitting in front of that TV at the time of kickoff. You're not fooling us. And then you really try to be slick, and you're like, oh, we're just going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And you conveniently sit in front of the TV because you want to make sure that you can see that game very clearly. We plan that. I know. Come on. Thank you. I'm glad I got an honest person over here. But we plan that out because that's important to us. But when it's time to plan for the things of God, ooh, we're like, ugh, I'm tired. I had a long day at work. I'm exhausted. I just want to sit in front of my TV. I pray. Ooh, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. Wednesday night, ugh, guys, whew, mom got home late from work, and we're not going tonight. We can make every excuse in the book when it comes to the things of God, but when it's other things, oh, we make that work. We make that work. And it's not like living this life that you're intended to live. It's not about organization. It's not about that at all. It's about making what's important a priority. It's about making what's important a priority. See, living this life that we're supposed to live, oftentimes we plan God around our life when our life should be planned around God. And we make a mistake when we do that. Our lives should be planned around Him. He should be the first. He should be priority in our life. We have to plan for the things of God. And I'm sure you're asking, okay, so what things can I plan for? Don't worry, I got three examples for you. I got plenty of examples. The first one is you can make an appointment to spend time with God. And my mentor actually gave me that idea. He said, I'm not a morning person, so I knew I needed to set something in the middle of the day. He said at 3 o'clock, I had it on my phone, and that's what I do. At 8 o'clock p.m., I have a reminder on my phone that says devotions. And either my family will do the Bible project, or I have to do it by myself, or Wendell and I will do it together. But I set it on my phone because to me, I'm saying that is important to me. And if you don't cancel that golf appointment, if you don't cancel that nail appointment every 2 weeks, you should not be canceling that time with God. And if somebody calls you and says, oh, will you go here with me or will you go there? You can just say, oh, I got an appointment. You're not lying. Make that appointment. Make it priority in your life. The second thing you can do, you can make a plan to be a part of a small group. Get around some people. You can say for the next 8 weeks, you don't have to commit for life, but you can say for the next 8 weeks, we're going to commit or I'm going to commit to being a part of a small group. We discovered that we're better together. And like I said, you can surround yourself with wise people. You can surround yourself with people who are going where you want to go. Or maybe you're the wise one, and maybe they need to learn from you. But to commit to 8 weeks, make a plan and say, I'm going to make a point to be a part of a small group for 8 weeks. I'm going to do that. I'm going to commit to doing that because I'm going to invest in myself, in my spiritual walk, in my journey with God. And the last example is you can plan for God opportunities. I like to call them divine appointments. Because if you think about it for a minute, if you and I, if God created us for a purpose, every day there is something for us to do. If He created you for a purpose, there's something that He has for you to do every day. Every day. There's something there. And you can wake up every day, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? If there's a Bible verse, maybe you need to share that same verse with somebody else. Like, God, who would you want me to share that with? But if God created you for a purpose, there is still work for you to do. I remember over 10 years ago when I started off doing hair, I used to pray this prayer every morning in my car. And I would say, Lord, help me to do what's impossible, what I think is impossible for me to do. Use my hands, use my day. And I would say that prayer every single day. And it was because I knew that I didn't go to cosmetology school. I taught everything myself, everything I knew was me and those flat irons, me and God. And I knew that if somebody came in that salon and they asked for finger waves or jerry curl, I was not going to know how to do it. I was definitely burning somebody's hair out. And I was like, Lord, so if you want me to do this, you have to help me to do what I think is impossible for me to do. And so one day I started my first job. I was in Walmart. Walmart has a salon inside. And I went to work that morning and I had somebody come in. And she said, I'm coming to get my hair done at the last minute because I have a funeral to get to. And my stylist isn't available. And I was like, uh-oh. So let me tell you something. For those of you who are funny about your hair, or if you know ladies, we don't let just anybody do our hair, okay? So the fact that she said that her stylist wasn't available, I knew that she just wasn't some person that was just randomly coming to get her hair done. So I said, okay, Lord, you got to help me. So she sat in my chair, and as I started doing her hair, and it was as we started talking, she began to share with me that a year or two before that her husband had just passed away over a cocaine overdose. And she shared that with me. She shared that she was now a single parent of two and that she was working at night. And she just began to share with me what was on her heart, what she was going through. And I just began to listen to her. And I'm like, wait a minute, God, you are doing the very thing that I prayed in the car. You are using my day. And so I began to speak life into her, and I just began to, you know, just talk to her or whatever. And now over 10 years later, this woman is one of my best friends. She and I, we sit back all the time and we talk about how that day, her coming into that salon was God ordained. She's walked with me through some very tough seasons, and I've done the same for her. But I just thought about that for a moment, that if I didn't pray that prayer, if I didn't plan that, if I didn't say, God, use my day, if I didn't look for those God opportunities, I could have missed that. And I'm so glad that I prayed that prayer, because God wants to set us up with those things. He wants to do that for you too, not just for me. He has God opportunities for you. He has divine appointments for you. Because I promise you, if you plan for them, if you pray for them, they will certainly come. They will come. You see, we have to plan for God. We don't need to work him in. We need to plan for him. Plan for him to show up in our day, because he certainly will. So if we're going to seize our day, we have to plan. So I have two things that I felt like the Lord was saying today that we need to plan for. And number one is we need to plan to do life with God. Plan to do life with God. When we do life with God, that means that we're giving every day to him. We're committing it to doing it his way, not our way. It means that we are giving him full control to do whatever he wants to do in our day. We don't allow anyone or anything to have control over our lives. We give it to him and to him alone. And that's why when Paul says in verse 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You see, wine has, he used that as an example, because wine has the potential to ruin and control the mind and one's judgment. Now, I like to say, if you know, if we're talking about old versus new, old ways versus new ways, if you know that your friends had to dig you out of ditches in the morning and you had no clue of where you were the next morning, you probably don't need to be doing that. And it's not just wine. It could be TV. It can be the computer. It can be any substance. If you know that that's not a wise choice, that you made some decisions in your old life, the old way of doing things that got you in trouble and it controlled the mind and it ruined your judgment, you don't need to be doing that. But he says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And he says that because being filled with the Spirit, that leads to a better pattern of life. And it leads to a better pattern of life because you're giving him the control, the one who sees all things and the one who knows all things. You choose to be filled with that instead of being filled with the things that once filled you once upon a time. You're making a choice. You're making a new decision that I'm going to live the life that God has intended for me to live, and I'm not going to do things the old way that I used to do them. I'm going to make a new choice. And it may be unfamiliar, but I'm choosing to do something a new way. Choose to be filled with the Spirit. And I love John 14:16, the Amplified Version, because it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby to be with you forever. I don't know about you, but I would be a straight up hot mess if it was not for the presence of God, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. If he wasn't leading me and guiding me through this thing called life, I would be straight up terrible. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that he guides me through this thing called life. He leads me and guides me so that I can experience this life that I'm intended to live. And that is only because of the help and the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I can be thankful all by myself for the Holy Spirit. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit. And last, in order to seize our day, number two, we need to plan to be filled with the Spirit. Plan to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know you're like, okay, now that sounds real crazy. How can I plan to be filled with the Spirit? Well, I would tell you, if you plan to put gas in your car every day, you know you fill that tank up. You know you can't make it off full the rest of your life. You have to continually fill your tank. And that's how it is about being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time filling. Just like you fill your tank with gas, you need to fill yourself with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to do that on a continual basis. Because of my schedule and because I got to take the boys, you know, here and there, and I come back and forth to work, we do visits and stuff, I know that I need to fill my tank up once a week. Every Thursday, I know I'm running on E. I'm running kind of low by then. And in the same way, we know when we're running on empty. We complain about that person that works in that cubicle next to us. They plucking that last nerve. We complain about them. And we're like, okay, you know, before you go to that office, you need to get in that car and you need to fill yourself, because you know you cannot do it on your own strength, because Sue, she will pluck it. And you know, in order to love others, like Pastor Brandon shared last week, I know we can be difficult to love. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled up. Get filled up. And you may ask, well, how can I do that? One way that you can do that is through worship. Worship. Verse 19 says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What songs are you singing? What songs are you singing? A few days ago, Jaden and I, my oldest son, we were in the car, and he did give me permission to share this. We were in the car, and I said, Jaden, I have Apple Music for the family if you want to download some music. He said, okay, Mom. And I said, so if you want to go ahead and download, go ahead. So I saw him downloading the music, and when I saw he was finished, I said, so Jaden, what songs did you download? He's like, oh, reggae, hip-hop, pop, rap. I was like, okay. He's like, oh. I said, so did you download any Christian music? And he was like, well, why, Mom, why do I need to do that? I said, well, Jaden, I tell you what, when you feel like the enemy has beat you all kinds of ways, and when you're trying to find the purpose of God for your life, when you feel like you just can't do it anymore, when you want to quit because life is just that hard and it's tough out here, Beyonce and all my single ladies cannot help you. Bruno Mars cannot help you. They can't help you. Now, they can fill you with a spirit, but it might not be the Holy Spirit. So you have to be careful about what music you're listening to, because I tell you what, in my car, I just listen to straight up Christian music. Because when I turn on I seen you move. You move the mountains. I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. That is what I need to be filled. That is what I need to get through my day. That is what I need to seize my day. Beyonce can't help me. Bruno Mars, the beat is nice, but you're not going to help me in what I have to do in my assignment. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that they demon possessed and they got other spirit. I don't know what they got, but they don't have what I need. They don't have what I need. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we fill ourselves, when we worship God, we take our focus off those things that seem small. They feel big at first, but when you worship God and when you focus on Him and when He fills you up, you realize those things are like small compared to the God that we serve. And that's what I need to be reminded of every day, that I serve a big God. I serve a big God. And we need to be filled. That is, worship is the tool that we need to be filled. You come into church, hearing the word of God, that is how you're filled. That's how you're able to go out and make it through another day, because you're being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do extraordinary things for God. Talking about season a day, we can do amazing things. And it's not because of who we are. I'm not great. It's because of who He is. He empowers us. He enables us to do extraordinary things for Him. I love Acts 19, 11 through 16, because I feel like it gives us the perfect example of what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit versus not. And it starts off by saying, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, that's some straight-up power right there. That is some serious stuff. But it wasn't because of who Paul was. Paul wasn't, he was a bad guy, and he's one of my greatest. But it wasn't because of who he was. It was because the power of the Holy Spirit in him and what he was doing through him. Paul wasn't great. It was because what the power of the Holy Spirit was doing. But keep reading. Let's find out what happens when you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says, some Jews went out driving around evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You tell me that is a straight up beatdown. If you run out your house naked and bleeding, you were beat. You were gotten. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's either you have it or you don't. You cannot fake having the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there are real devils out here. There are real devils out here who know if you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and if you're not. And that happened to them because they had no power, they had no authority to be doing anything because they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul had it. That's why he was able to do extraordinary things, but they tried it and they failed because they realized they need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do those things. There is a devil out here who does not want you to seize your day. There is a real devil out here who is seeking to destroy you, that is seeking to beat you straight out of your clothes and leave you out of your house naked and bleeding. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be just like this and you will be naked and bleeding leaving your house because the enemy plays no games. He is real. But we have the right and we have the authority to beat the enemy, to destroy the enemy if we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do that if we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So in order to fight, in order to seize your day, you have to be filled. In order to love Sue at work who is plucking it, you have to be filled. And even as you continue to read Ephesians and how it says, men, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Hey, I'm a wife. I understand. You need to be filled. Now, go ahead, baby. You can say amen. I'm going to give you privilege. Go ahead. All right. It's all right. I know what it's, hey, it's hard out here. It's hard to, because we're human. We're human. There's nobody perfect but Jesus the Christ. We are all flawed. And it's sometimes we do things that's hard. It's hard to love sometimes. But the only way we're able to love the way Christ loves us is if we fill ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. And I want you to know that it's not about you. You don't have to be like Paul. You don't have to, you know, take a handkerchief and people take it to heal people. You don't have to lay hands on people. You don't have to cast out demons. You don't have to do all that in one day. You don't have to be that way. All God wants is for you to seize every opportunity that he gives you. He doesn't care about how much you do in a day. He just wants to know, what will you do with your day? Will you take advantage of those opportunities that I've given you? Will you be on the lookout for those God opportunities? What are you doing with your day? Instead of avoiding Sue and like, I'm just going to avoid Sue because I know it's going to make my flesh come out. Instead of doing that, you're like, okay, God, what is it? How obviously Sue, you put Sue here for a reason. I'm not going to avoid Sue. I'm going to take Sue on as my assignment. What is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to use my day? How do you want me to love? How do you want me to, what kind of God opportunity are you giving me right now with Sue? Instead of avoiding her, I'm going to seek what your plan, your assignment is for me with Sue. Don't miss your opportunity to do something great for God. Don't miss your opportunity to do something great. Trust me, I've missed a lot of them. And at the end of the day, I'm like, ugh, I'm so mad at myself because even people who have passed away. And I was like, Lord, I was ignoring them. And I thought I wasn't paying attention. I'm like, Lord, please forgive me. Because that was my chance. That was my opportunity to tell them about you. And I didn't do it. So I'm not saying that we have to be perfect. Yes, I've missed them and you probably have too. But from here on out, if we know that this is a life that God has intended for us to live, I don't know about you, but I've made the decision. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not missing another opportunity. I'm going to plan to do life with God and I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. So if he brings somebody my way, I am ready. I am ready. Amen. Amen. So I just want to leave you with this next step. And that is, if you have, your next step can be, if you just want to know more about the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you. Our lead pastor, Pastor Sean, he teaches an incredible class on Intro to the Holy Spirit. And it starts this week, October 24th, right here, 7 p.m. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit and you want to know how he can lead you and guide you and how you can be filled up, I would encourage you, come and sit and be filled. Come and learn what it's like to have the power of the Holy Spirit on your side and in you and working through you. That's nothing you have to be scared of or anything you have to be uncomfortable with, because God has sent him as a helper to you and to me. Amen. Well, I just want to invite our leaders to come forth, our elders or our leaders, whoever we've assigned to come pray. If you would just come to the front this morning. Because as I was preparing for this, I felt the Lord give me the green light to share something that he gave me back in February. And I felt like it was a word for our church personally. And I just want to take a moment to share that with you. And I asked our leaders to come because I want them to be available if you need to respond to that word. And the dream was, I had a dream that I was at a church, and the church was, it was different. It was really beautiful because it had this big window that I could see outside the church. I could see inside, but I could see outside as well. And there was something about that window that I was drawn to. And there, when I looked inside the church, there were people inside the church, but they were walking in circles like this. And I was like, okay, so they're praying. I thought it was a prayer service. So I said, okay. So I was looking at the people, looking back at the window, looking at the people. And I looked back at the window and I could hear a light galloping. And as I looked back at the people, they were still walking in the same old circle. And I looked back at the window, looked back at the people, looked back at the window. And I saw this huge white horse. And the horse was so big that I only could see the back half of the horse. And he had this, the horse had this beautiful green and yellow garment on it. And I just kept looking at this beautiful horse. And as soon as I looked back, we heard a sound. And we're like, oh, he's here. And then I woke up. And so I took the next couple of days. I'm like, Lord, what does that mean? Am I not ready? What does that mean? What are you trying to say? And a few nights later, the Lord woke me up and he had me write down what that dream meant. And I want to share with you word for word what he said. This is not coming from me. This is God. He said, the people walking around, they were people that were doing the same old thing, coming to church, just filling a seat, going to work, doing the same old thing that they're always doing. And they were missing the sound. You're missing the sound that I'm coming. God is saying it's time to get your house in order. It's time to get your house in order. And trust me, I know, I just want to say, because I thought about this after I sat down after first service. All my life I've been told, oh, he's coming. We're in the end times. Oh, he's coming. And we've gotten so comfortable with hearing that it doesn't even faze us anymore. But God is gracious enough to let us know he is coming and he's given us an opportunity to get our house in order. That is the God that we serve. He's not going to let us walk out of here without giving us the opportunity to get our house in order. Number two, he says, the enemy is filling the body with lies. And I thought about our senior saints here. And he says that the enemy is saying that the enemy is filling your mind with lies that you're too old. And God says, no. And it was a sense of urgency. He was like, get up, get up. The fact that you're still here, that means you have work to do. Because if you didn't have work to do, you would be in heaven with him. So you have work to do. All my senior saints, don't say I'm too old. You're not too old. I can learn from you. I need you. Please don't say I'm too old. Do what it is that God has called you to do. Get up. The next thing he says, God has called you and you're still sitting. Get up. And he says, the enemy is filling your mind with fear. And you're saying, I don't think I can do this. I can't do this. I don't know the word. I don't know how to pray. God says, I've equipped you with everything you need to do what I've called you to do. Get up. Get up. And he says, last, he says, some of you are spiritually asleep. You are spiritually asleep. You are comfortable not doing the things of God. You are comfortable not reading your Bible. You're comfortable not coming to church. You're comfortable not praying. You're comfortable doing all this stuff because the enemy has you spiritually asleep. And God says, get up. Get up. Get up. He says, I'm coming soon, and there are people who need to tell about me. Get up. Get up. So I believe that there are a few things here. One, I knew that I wanted to do the salvation call. I knew, okay, God, there are people here that don't know you. But the Lord also told me there are people who have accepted Christ. But they've turned their back and they're doing things their own way. And they think, oh, well, I accepted Christ, but it's your heart. Your heart is not right. And God is saying it is time to get your house in order. So if you've never accepted Jesus, it's time for you to do that this morning. It's time to get up. If you've turned your back, if your heart is not in the right place, it is time to get up. Don't worry about the person on your left or your right, what they think, because I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, when you stand before God, you are going to have to answer for that. He ain't going to ask about them. Don't worry about them. If your house is not in order, I encourage you. I can't say it any stronger, any bolder. It is time to get up. And if you're here and the enemy has you are fearful of things, I don't know what that is, but God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He has lied to you one too many times. You're not too old. You can do what he's called you to do because he's given you the ability to do them. The enemy has lied one too many times, and it's time for you to make a stand that I'm not going to let the enemy have control over my thoughts and my mind anymore. I'm going to choose to do what it is that God has called me to do. So as we sing this next song, I'm going to lead us through a prayer. If you would stand this morning. If that word is for you, if you need to accept Jesus, if you need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, our leaders are here to help you and to lead you and to pray you through that moment. If you're here this morning and the enemy has been lying to you and you've been sitting on the things that God has called you to do and you're making a decision not to do that, you're choosing to take that first step, hey, we're standing with you. We're agreeing with you. But if that is not you this morning, as we worship, I would encourage you to take this opportunity to get filled up because there are some God opportunities out there that are waiting on you. There are some people waiting on the other side of your obedience if you would just say yes. If you would just say yes. So as we sing this next song, I encourage you to come. And if you don't want to wait until I'm finished praying, hey, by no means, you can come now. But let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I thank you that you speak to us. Father, I thank you that you are softening every hard heart, that you are drawing people closer to you. Father, I come against the enemy that has trying to keep people where they are. God, I thank you for those that don't know you. They are going to make the decision to say yes today. They're not going to wait. They're going to get up. They're going to get up. There's work for us to do, oh God. There's work for us to do. You died on the cross for us, oh Jesus. God, you sent your one and only son so that we can be free from sin. And Lord, we choose to live that life that you've given us today. We say yes and amen to that, that we don't have to be bound by our sin. We don't have to be bound by our sin, but we can choose to say yes to you and receive freedom from our sin. Father, I thank you for every person who's here. Lord, you knew that they needed to be here to hear this word from you. And this morning, I come against every lie of the enemy. Satan, I bind you. I cancel every assignment, every trick, every distraction, everything that you've tried to control the minds of my brothers and sisters here, every lie that you've planted, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. You have to go. You must take your hands off of the children of God. You have no right and no authority. So right now we bind you and we command you to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that they're going to take that next step, that they're going to choose to take that step of faith, God, and do what it is that you've called them to do. They're not going to let fear, they're not going to let their age, they're not going to let anything stand in the way of what you have for them. They're going to say yes to your plan and your will for their life. And God, we just thank you and we give you the highest praise this morning. Lord, as we worship you with this song, may you fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing, so that we can take advantage of every assignment that you have for us, that we can see and plan for those God opportunities. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we just thank you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? Would you worship as we sing?